This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. It's a spectacular day. You have conquered the week. Christmas is almost here. Life is grand. And it's going to be a spectacular show for you right now. We're going to talk about judges. The judges who are from foreign lands putting a stop to Trump. We'll talk about that. Someone wants to know about decline. If we are on the decline, what does that look like? The post-World War II world, why was it all about decolonization? Some guy's wife is getting a little too heavy with the credit card this Christmas season. The Senate, all that and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's begin here. Not going to spend a lot of time on it because it's going to be a point we've made often, but the question was, does anyone else think it's odd these judges putting up roadblocks to Trump's agenda have last names that sound like they aren't from these parts? Well, it's not that it's odd, but let's just discuss the phenomenon, you see. Remember, that is half the point of the mass importation of foreigners. Frankly, it's the whole point, if you want to zoom out a little bit. The entire point you would mass import people from foreign lands is you view them as an ally in your quest for power. If you're an evil, soulless monster, a Democrat, and you want power above all, then you need to bring some people into this country who will help push the revolution forward because patriotic Americans are not on board. And when you sit back for a moment and think about all the deranged freak stuff that's out there right now, all the stuff the Democrat Party has had to embrace. You know what? Let me grab this. This is from Hot Air. New study identifies dramatic rise in mortality for trans women who use cross-sex hormones. Okay, so stop for a second and let's think about this. The tranny stuff. Not just for kids, the tranny stuff, period. It's gross. I know you know it's gross. It's weird. It's evil. It's wrong. It's all those things, right? One of the two major political parties in this country is all in on it. All in on it. In to the point there is a tranny member of the House of Representatives got elected. The Biden administration brought trannies into the administration. All in on something that every normal American can see is weird and gross and wrong and terrible. I'm not talking about you and me either. I'm talking about every normie you know. All the norms, all the normas out there, they know it too. When you run into that dude in a short skirt with too much lipstick on and his Adam's apple hanging out past his chin in the grocery store, you grab your children and move to the other aisle. It's gross, it's weird, it's awful, it's terrible, and you don't need to be some political person to know that. The Democrat Party, well, let me introduce you to the man who's the likely Democrat nominee for president in 2028.
We didn't get into trans sports. That's an issue no one wants to hear about because 80% of the people listening disagree with my position on this. But it comes from my heart, not just my head. It wasn't a political evolution.
Position being that?
I don't think it's I want to see trans kids. I have a trans godson. There's no governor that's signed more pro-trans legislation than I have, and no one has been a stronger advocate for the LGBTQ community.
He even acknowledges in the opening that he knows he's on the losing end of an 80-20 issue. Do you know how many 80-20 issues there are in the country? Not very many. A country this divided? 80-20? You wouldn't get 80-20 on hardly anything 80% of Americans think this stuff is sick and friggin' wrong. 80%. That's for politicians. If you're banking on the will of the people, if you need the people to vote for you, that's the biggest softball in the world. They just handed it to you. I mean, they practically made the choice for you. Hey, here's where you need to fall on this issue. And yet, the entire Democrat Party, every bit of it, top to bottom, all in on tranny stuff. Now, what's this got to do with foreigners and foreign judges and things like that? Well, if you're going to push this stuff and big Democrat donors, billionaire Democrat donors demand that Democrats push this stuff, Democrat voters, the most rabid ones, demand Democrats push this stuff. That's where the 20% is on the 80-20. If you're going to push this, then what you need reinforcements, you see. If patriotic Americans, if 80% of Americans are against you on something that you feel forced to do and say, then you need reinforcements. Which brings us to foreigners from anywhere, from everywhere. It doesn't matter. If you want to come here and you want to bring your whole extended family here and Democrats do it for you, and not only do they do it for you, they'll provide welfare, inhuman amounts of welfare, housing, food. They'll put you, they'll get you into universities. You can come from another country and you will have a huge leg up over American kids, certainly American white kids, getting into college. Democrats will bring you and your entire extended family here and provide for your every want. And all they ask in exchange is back the Democrat Party no matter what. Back the Democrat Party no matter what. Back the Democrat. That's their only ask. Support the revolution. Will you support the revolution no matter what we do, no matter what we say? And if you're a foreigner and you have 25 family members and you want them all to go to college and the American taxpayer to pay everything and you want a transactional relationship with the party you support, do you care that much about the tranny stuff? So if your name is Chakra Bebop Click Click from whatever God-forbidden third world dump there is out there, and the Democrat Party brings you into the country, you understand exactly where your bread is buttered, and you understand you are only allowed to come here and stay here and luxuriate here because you will be a warrior on behalf of the revolution, and Democrats know that too. And that's why the Biden administration and the Obama administration before him grabbed as many communists, foreign and domestic, as humanly possible and put them into every judicial system they could possibly find. Now we routinely have Judge Shriek Shriek Click Click from who knows where trying to stop the Trump administration from deporting this guy. No, you can't do this. No, you have to keep trannies in the military. No, no, no. Why? What did we say before about foreigners? How do most people vote across the planet? You don't vote this way, but most people across the planet do. What are the two T's? What are the two T's? First of all, transactional. Tribal and transactional. Tribal is the other one, but transactional is a big one. We'll get to tribal in a second. It's a simple transaction for foreigners. They don't love everything Democrats do. This is why people on the right get confused. Well, I don't understand why they would bring in all these Muslims and then the Muslims would vote for the party that pushes the LGBTQ demon stuff when Muslims, it's a transactional relationship, period. You think Muslims agree with everything the Democrat Party does? Of course not. It's transactional. They understand that's their protection. Those are their benefactors. So you got to go along with some things. And of course, tribal. That's how you can hate people for this. You can love them for this. It doesn't matter. Most people across the globe, when they vote tribally and transactionally. So if you are Shriek, Shriek, Click, Click, and you're from India, and someone stands before you, a criminal, maybe he's from your part of India, Maybe you guys have shared a delicious bowl of curry soup together. Well, whatever his crimes are, that doesn't matter. You assume that position of power so you could help your people out. These judges, it's not an accident. So many of them sound like they're from foreign lands. Democrats brought them here and then put them in charge of your judicial system, because they have chosen a side and it ain't yours. All right. Let's talk about national decline. Someone has a question about what it looks like, what it might look like. Before we get to that, let's talk about you finding a good replacement. You know, Jewish producer Chris dropped the bomb yesterday here in the office that he thinks ZipRecruiter really lists the jobs. I mean, says they list it, what did you say, Chris? Nice and simple and easy to use. Which begged the question, Chris, how do you know this? How much time? Why are you on ZipRecruiter? So the exciting news is Chris may be moving on. And he is using ZipRecruiter to find, I don't remember, some machinist or some stupid job he's going to go do. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. That's the hiring site employers prefer the most, because employees like Chris find it easy to use. The job listings are right there. The salary ranges are right there. And consider it a matchmaking, if you will. ZipRecruiter will bring you the best employers. They'll do it immediately. 4 out of 5 find somebody on the first day. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular, spectacular Friday. I've got to be honest. We got to pause for a quick moment. We're going to get to the decline of the country email, but I have to get off my chest something dark and ugly that's going on right now inside the Kelly household. And I'm going to warn you ahead of time. It involves envy, deceit, intrigue. Let me go ahead and tell you what it is. First of all, I have to set up the story by telling you this. You are well aware that Aub is a health super freak. One of these work out all the time, eat veggie chili. Is that meat organic? One of these types of people, right? But what you may not know, but I don't think I've ever shared with you, is every now and then, she'll just lose her mind and wipe out 2 value meals from McDonald's right in front of you. Every now and then. She just breaks at some point in time and goes all in on one meal with a Coke, right? So, you know, I've been trying to eat better. I've been making some strides. And we don't keep many traditional chips in the house. I'm really more of a mass of chips guy. I try to keep the chips out of the house, because otherwise I'll eat the chips. A couple weeks ago, I go buy a bag of Tostitos chips, just regular Tostitos chips, corn chips, some chip cheese. I put it in the pantry. I never touched it. Never touched it. It had been there for, I believe it was a week. Last night, I get home, and I decide, you know what? Screw it. I'm having my freaking chips. And I go to the pantry. Aub is in the kitchen. We're sitting there talking. I go to the pantry. No bag. Bag is gone. I say, she's right there. Keep in mind, she's 3 feet away. I say, hey, one of the kids ate my chips. Have you seen my Tostitos chips? Someone ate my chips. Nothing. Crickets. She doesn't say a word, but she's on her phone. She's doing her grocery list or something like that. And then I get her attention. Aub, did one of the kids eat my chips? And she looks down with this half smirk on her face and she says, I'm so ashamed. I was hoping you wouldn't ask again. I ate the chips. And I said, baby, that was a whole bag. You ate an entire bag of chips? And this is where, listen, lies lead to other lies. Remember that. Lies lead to other lies. You know what she says? No, no. The bag was already open. I maybe ate half the bag. Okay. I give her some crap about that. But now I would like to know who opened my bag of chips. James, my oldest son, comes out. He's an eating machine. He works out all the time. That's why we keep the pantry stocked with beef sticks and nuts and protein bars, because he's going in there and he's eating whatever he gets his hands on. But he will, if he finds a bag of chips, he'll wipe that out too. It doesn't matter. He's a teenage boy. And I jump him immediately because I know it's him. It's got to be him. Hey, James, how were my Tostitos? Looks me right in the eye and says, Dad, I never touched your Tostitos. And I called him a liar to his face. I said, I know it was you. I know it was you. He said, Dad, I would tell you if it was me. I never touched the Tostitos. Okay. Well, he's not a liar. That means it's got to be Luke. But that would be kind of out of character for Luke. This morning, we're up as a family before the kids go to school. Everyone's getting breakfast. Ob's in the kitchen making one of the health smoothie things. Luke comes out, and I say, hey, obviously it was you. How were my Tostitos? And he looks at me like I have three heads. He says, Dad, I never, what Tostitos? I don't know what you're talking about. I said, buddy, it wasn't Ob. It wasn't Mom, and it wasn't James. A ghost didn't eat my chips. That means you ate my chips. That's when Ob broke down in the kitchen. And she said, it was me. I was too ashamed to admit that I opened them up and ate the whole bag. And I said, hold on. You not only laid waste to an entire bag of Tostitos chips, you blamed the boys for your pig out on my chips? And all she could do was hang her head in shame. This is what, Chris? Chris said, what kind of Tostitos chips? Just regular Tostitos corn chips. They were just the plain ones. What? I know, that's what I said, Chris. It's not even a special chip. I mean, it's not even a... What would even possess you? It's not like we're talking about a Cheeto here or a Dorito. Who would even do that? And then who would lie about it? And then who would half lie and then blame the children on it? She actually said on my way out the door, she said, please don't tell that story on the radio. And I said, baby, you've left me no choice. I have no choice. Everyone has to know. Everyone thinks I'm the bad guy all the time and she's the good guy all the time. Well, let it be known right now. She ate all of my chips, lied about it twice, and blamed the boys. There you go. That's a true story. Jesse, I thought of you the other day. My wonderful wife brought me an Admiral's Feast home from shopping. I ate most of it that evening, but I wanted to save the biscuits and shrimp for a snack. That's where things went sideways. I couldn't find them the next day. It seems my non-rough green dog took them off the table and had them for a snack. 4 days later, and I'm still angry at the Cheddar Bay biscuit thief. Could rough greens have prevented such a tragedy? Of course. Your dog didn't grab the Cheddar Bay biscuits just because they're heavenly and delicious. Your dog only gets dog food, which there's no nutrition in it. It's dead. It's disgusting. Your dog is craving something better. If you would just sprinkle rough greens on your dog's food, your dog would be happier, healthier, better breath, and maybe, just maybe, you would have gotten to enjoy some leftover Cheddar Bay biscuits. You did this to yourself. Have a dog that lives longer and saves your biscuits. Go to roughgreens.com and use the promo code Jesse, and that gets you a free jumpstart trial bag. Roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse. Now we'll do National Decline. Next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show still. We are live here on a Friday evening, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, part-time radio host, on Wednesday you were talking about the decline of this country. What does this look like? Are we going to change our name? Are we going to split up into different countries? Are we going to have a monarchy? Can you elaborate what the downfall of a nation like the Roman Empire really looks like for the college dropouts like yourself? His name is Phil. Okay, well, let me go ahead and get this out of the way first. I don't know. And the reason I don't know is it kind of looks different from nation to nation to nation. In the United States of America, I can tell you what I think will probably happen. Our state system is really, really excellent in this country. It's not as good as it used to be, but it's really excellent. When I say our state system, I'm talking about the 50 individual states and the sovereignty of those states. Your state or Commonwealth, your state has a governor. Your state has almost undoubtedly, I believe 48 or 49 of the states have a state police force. Your state has an attorney general, a healthcare system, a school system. The states really are individual countries that obviously came together to form, of course, the United States of America. I believe our decline is going to be slow. I need to emphasize that. And I don't know that for a fact, but I believe it's going to be very, very slow because we have so many benefits here. So let me give you some benefits here. Don't discount the fact that we have two gigantic oceans on each end. That's a big deal, meaning we don't have some gigantic juggernaut, powerful country breathing down our neck. And if some gigantic juggernaut powerful country wants to come over here and physically take some of this place, they have to cross an ocean. And then once you get here, you have to deal with hundreds of millions of guns and ammunition. That alone creates a nightmarish situation. So I actually do not believe, at least not for the long, long, long distance future, that we will be militarily conquered in that kind of a way. I do not believe that. It's just too much of a headache for somebody who would try to do so. So let's set that aside. What will happen? Let's focus on what we know. We know the currency, it's going to continue to be devalued. Remember what the Federal Reserve's goal is. And I know that you probably winced when I said that because everyone has watched their buying power, 25% of it, disappear in the last 5 years because we stopped the country for a virus. We're not going to go into that right now. But remember what the Federal Reserve's target is. 2%. 2% what? 2% inflation. Their goal is that your money will be devalued 2% every single year. That is what they're going for. They're not even attempting to increase the value of the dollar. Their goal is to only decrease it a little bit. That's the goal. So we know on a long enough timeline, the debt will eventually devalue the dollar a lot. Over and over and over, maybe super slow, maybe there'll be things that speed it up like COVID, wars, things like that, but we know the dollar will go down. What does that mean? You don't have the same buying power. For instance, Americans definitely love this. They love to travel to Europe, and I'm not a hypocrite. I've been there, three times? I've been to Europe three times. This is all in recent years, but I've been to Europe three times. I like it too. Why? I love history. I want to see castles and fortresses and old cathedrals, and that's why I enjoy it. I want to eat there. But here's what Americans get wrong, especially American tourists. When I go to, I've been to Paris twice. I was just passing through the second time, but I've been to Paris twice. Where did I stay? There was a pretty nice hotel.
down by the Louvre, down by all the museums and fancy stuff down there. It was a pretty nice hotel down there. There were good restaurants right there a block away. There were a couple good shops, things like that. Did I experience what life is like for a French citizen? For the average French citizen? Tourists fool themselves into thinking they do. The average French citizen can't afford the power bill half the time. The average French citizen does with a lot less than you do. A lot less. Lower standard of living. Maybe doesn't even have air conditioning in their home, in their tiny little apartment somewhere. If they own a vehicle, it's the size of a phone booth. How's this relate to us? Let's say our currency continues to get devalued, and let's say the debt crisis gets to a place where we can no longer afford the interest payments on the debt. The result of that is going to be a drop in your standard of living. And I don't know how fast that will come. It won't be in a year, but a slow, steady degradation of your standard of living. So the average American, not everybody, and this may not be for you. Maybe you want to be single in a penthouse apartment, and there's nothing wrong with that. But many Americans think about, you know, I want a spouse, I want 2.5 kids, I want a house in a fairly safe neighborhood, and of course, a couple cars in the driveway. She has to take the kids to school, I have to go to work. That's a very common kind of one of those Americana, American dream type things. What if that disappears for 70, 80% of the country? Because the money's just not there. What if healthcare gets a lot worse? You're already seeing it. Meaning you can't afford care. Maybe, God forbid, you get cancer. Maybe you have it now. Look, it's coming for all of us. I think everybody knows we're all going to get it in some way or another. Everybody seems to get it. Everyone in my family certainly seems to. What if there's a great treatment? You can't afford it. So you don't get it and you just die. This is not doomsday stuff. This is how people in Europe live right now. Right now. That modern fancy Europe. Now, you didn't experience that when you went over to Milan for your anniversary and you stayed at a hotel and ate at a delicious Italian restaurant and everybody was so nice. Yes, but every one of those people who waited on your tables and did the turn down service in your room, they went back to a very tiny, very crappy hotel that's too hot in the summertime. They have to keep the windows open in the morning. They don't even own a vehicle. When they want to go somewhere, they scrape up a few bucks, take the train, and then walk 5 miles in a completely different standard of living than Americans are used to, than Americans have ever known. And of course, that's not as bad as it gets, but you can see the states breaking up in some form, probably coalitions of states. I don't mean every individual state. And you can see Americans slowly over time watching their standard of living go down and down and down. And who knows what else comes with all this, right? A war accelerates everything, certainly a big one. Some sort of other catastrophe we can't see of some kind, a legitimate plague of some kind that wipes out the population. Look, I'm not saying don't dwell on it, but you can think about it. You can think about what you'll do, think about ways to prepare, but these things are out of your hands and out of my hands. We'll do what we can to avoid it, all right? All right. Guy's wife got the credit card. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday, and I didn't mean for that to be heavy. Look, it's just, it's something that's been on my mind, so when it's on my mind, I talk to you about it. If you want to feel better, let's remember that this was Jasmine Crockett's introduction for her Senate run.
Okay. She ain't never scared and she ain't never been. Who is willing to go toe-to-toe against the president? I can't wrap my head around someone who votes Republican. She advocate for feeding kids. They protect folks touching them. Trump invading his own country with our army. What a joke. We remember Pearl Harbor by illegally bombing boats. What y'all thought we wasn't gonna do nothing, buddy? Think again. They only trying to scare out of running because they think she'll win. Listen, thought I told y'all we ain't never scared. Now look who name on the docket. Got two words for every racist bigot. Jasmine Crockett.
Yo, yo.
Y'all hear the words.
Me, I hope my money goes to side that isn't trying to say affordability's a hoax. She stand on business, Austin toes. Texas dope, don't need no more bad built, bleach blonde, butch bodies moving forward.
Standing on business, Chris. Thanks for putting that on the sound list again today, buddy. I appreciate it. Hey, Jesse, it's the holidays. I get that. Every day I get a notification of yet another charge, not mine, but hers, on our credit card. I send in two payments a month to these soulless demons to bring down the balance. How do I respectfully tell my wife of 35 years to take it down a notch? All right. So, here's something I learned a long time ago, that financial strife is one of the main causes for divorce, financial strife. And, you know, you can see that in your own life and other people's lives when times are tough or times are tight, or in some situations where one of the two parties cannot seem to keep their hands off their wallet, if you will. And that takes different forms. You know, women shopping is the biggest stereotype in the world. For dudes, it can be, you know, beer, gambling, hunting supplies. We've all walked into Cabela's and walked out with a couple things we didn't need. But let's focus on the wife. Our house, at this point in time, it's too Christmassy. All right? The reason it's too Christmassy is we don't throw anything away. And over 19 years of marriage, I feel like a new thing has been added every single year. And because it never gets thrown away. And then my folks handed us down some of their Christmas stuff. Oh, I know, Chris. Chris, do you want to know the latest one, buddy? You're gonna blow a gasket. You want to know the latest one? I come home, and you know the big red bows, like red bows? She has bought red bows, that's her thing this year, red bows for the dining room chairs. Now, all the dining room chairs have a Christmassy red bow on them. My point is, no, they're not all a present, Chris. I asked a couple questions too, and all I got was yelled at. Okay, so I guess I shouldn't decorate for Christmas. You know what you're going to get. My point is, buddy, women love the Christmas season probably more than anyone else. And they watch these Hallmark movies and they get new ideas about, oh, we could get new Christmassy teacups and stuff like that. Let them go. Unless, of course, you are actually in a financial bind, or it's look. I think Ob spent $19.99 on the stupid bows, right? So, if you're in a financial bind, then I don't know that you have to be that polite about it. You don't need to be a jerk, but you need to say, "Honey, it's got to stop. We don't have any money. The money's got to stop. We've had years where we didn't get anything either. So you might just have to talk to her. Look, you've been married 35 years. After 35 years, I think you can probably square her away. All right? Tell her instead, send $28 to preborn. $28 to preborn is better than any kind of Christmas decoration you can possibly purchase, because it actually saves the life of a little bitty baby. There is a baby right now as we speak in its mother's womb, and it doesn't know that mom has already decided to kill it. She's online as we speak. She's on her phone. She's looking for ways to kill it, trying to find where she can do it. What preborn is going to do is they're going to give her something wonderful, an ultrasound. They're going to give her a free ultrasound. And when she hears that heartbeat, she's going to choose life, because they choose life almost every single time. That is what you should do this Christmas season. You can give in someone's name. If you've lost somebody, $28. Give them whatever you want. It's tax deductible. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Here's Al Green.
I know what happened in my lifetime.
It bothers me this guy's name's Al Green when the real Al Green was so talented, and now we have this caveman looking dork.
I know what happened in my lifetime when I had to go to the back door to get my food.
Here we go.
I remember when I had to drink from a filthy colored water fountain, when there was a pristine white water fountain right next to me. I know. I lived it. I remember.
Unbelievable the mileage they've gotten out of this.
Remember how I had to sit in the back of the bus. And if there weren't enough seats for Anglos, we called them white people. I don't like the term. But when there weren't enough seats for Anglos, then I had to move. I know. I know what's going on. I see it. Well, you're saying no, that's not happening right now. No, but we're headed in that direction. I don't want to return to that past where I was a suspect simply because of the color of my skin. I was a suspect. We are now at a point in this country to tie this together where there are people who are suspect because of the way they look, just as I was a suspect because of the way I looked.
Isn't race communism so exhausting? And I am, it's, believe me, we're not past it. We're not through it yet. But I am in some ways grateful for the George Floyd stuff, because what it did was it tapped so many Americans out on their tolerance for this stuff. Americans were tolerating it, so much of it, for so long. And then once they all took to the streets and started looting Foot Locker, America finally had enough. Anyway, someone wants to know about the post-World War II decolonization thing. We'll talk about Venezuela. Why is Maduro dancing? All that and more. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.